Hello, believers. Welcome to a retro episode of Just Praise Him Radio, back when it was called Wings Radio. I had originally planned to re-record this series, but at this point, I just cannot foresee having the time to get that done. I hope you enjoy it. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Linkus. And this week, we're going to be talking about tests on the pathway to promotion. This week is test number two, which is handling negativity in relationships. The tests that we're talking about in this series, tests on the pathway to promotion, are all tests that the Lord revealed to me in the life of Joseph. Genesis 37:4 says, "And when his brethren," talking about Joseph's 11 brothers or 10 brothers, because the 11th one I don't think was like this, Benjamin. "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him." Now last week, the first week of the series, we talked about the test of favor. When God's favor becomes evident on your life, there will be people close to you who don't like it. They don't want you to be blessed unless they can be blessed. But they're not necessarily willing to make the sacrifices and walk in holiness to obtain the blessing either. I think that we can all agree that one of the most challenging aspects of our life and our Christian walk here on earth is when we have to deal with negativity in relationships. So let's talk first about what is negativity in relationships. What would be examples of that? People who don't like you. And they show it, whether it be family, coworkers, people on the street, whoever. People who actively work against you to cause harm, whether they're spreading vicious rumors, they're spreading negative gossip. Jezebels who try to turn other people against you. Tyrants and control freaks, especially if they're in a position of authority over you. Manipulators and liars. Abusive people, cheating spouses or significant others. Dealing with cheating is never a good thing. Emotional blackmailers. Well, if you don't do this or that, I'm not going to have anything to do with you, or I'm not going to let you see your grandkids or whatever. The list could go on and on, but you get the point. Those are examples of negativity in relationships. It can be as simple as just people who are very condescending. Dealing with very arrogant and prideful people is also very negative because they're constantly condescending as if it, you know, takes a great effort on their part to even, you know, allow you to be in their presence. And they look down on you and everything. Any time that we encounter negativity in a relationship, our flesh jumps up and it wants to get involved, doesn't it? It wants to answer them back. Anybody who uses or abuses us or anyone who treats us unfairly, our flesh jumps up and wants to go, "I'll get them." When you are saved, your spirit is saved and it is forever changed. But your flesh, your body, and your soul, your mind, will, and emotions are not saved. Those can only be renewed. They have to be renewed in the Word of God. And especially when we're new in the walk, but sometimes even longtime Christians who have not actively applied themselves to the Word and applied the Word to themselves and tried to sanctify their lives to the use of the Lord will still be very carnal. They will have a lot of pride or arrogance or carnality or whatever. And sometimes people just haven't overcome in certain areas. So you will sometimes see Christians who act like this. We are faced with a choice each time we encounter negativity in a relationship. And the choice is, how am I going to respond to this? Will I let my flesh respond for me? Or will I let the Word of God and the Spirit of God determine my response? About, let's see, last summer, this is January 2016. Last summer, I was out walking my dogs and a man in my neighborhood verbally attacked me and threatened one of my dogs. And I was so shocked at being talked to the way he was talking to me. Honestly, I didn't know what to say. But I know if he had done that before I was saved, there would have been a lot of stuff come out of my mouth that would not be godly in character. However, since I have been saved, I have learned to withhold and not speak all my mind. The Bible says that anyone who speaks all their mind is a fool. I don't want to be a fool, do you? Proverbs 29:11. A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in till afterwards. Words are very powerful. And there are times when you may remember something that was said to you 30, 40 years ago that hurt you, that left a wound. And I don't want to be guilty of uttering words that people remember 20, 30, 40 years later that hurt them. Because you can't ever unspeak something. Once you speak it, you can apologize for it, but you can't really take it back and make it go away. But more than that, I want to honor God in my conduct, in my everyday life, in the way I treat people. Let me tell you something. God will not promote you when you treat people bad. If you treat, you know, maybe you go to work and you treat everybody wonderful up there, but you go home and you treat your spouse and your children terrible, or just your spouse, God's not going to overlook that. It's not okay for you to treat your spouse bad. And if you think God's going to promote you when you treat your spouse bad behind closed doors, you better think again, because that's not the way He works. God cares very, very much how we treat other people, y'all. So the man attacking me verbally would be an example of encountering negativity. And I wasn't really in a relationship with him. I didn't even know him. But negativity in anyone, you know, like I said, even people in the street. And I just kind of picked up my dogs and went home. But I was very upset, and I was literally afraid to go out in my neighborhood after that. And I thought that was very sad to live in a neighborhood and be afraid to walk your own street because, you know, somebody like that. But I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, you know, this isn't right. And I didn't do anything to this man, and that man moved. So that would be one example. And another example would be when people are slandering you and you find out about it. That has happened to all of us usually at some point. Certainly has happened to me. I have seen online where people posted really vicious, ugly things before. But, you know, you have to realize that when people post stuff like that about you, 90% of the time, those are people that don't even know you. They don't have any idea who they're talking about. They just have whatever their perception of you is. And generally, I just pray for them and keep on going. You can't let that stuff bother you. But the alternatives when encountering anger or slander is, you know, you could fight back. I could fight back. I could have stood in the street and argued like an idiot with that man, but it wouldn't have done any good. And it would have made me look like a fool to all my neighbors. And that's certainly not a way to witness for Christ in the neighborhood, is it? Regardless of who was right or wrong. And being slandered, you know, you can go online and you can post comments and fight back, but all it does is start a war. If you fight fire with fire, all you end up with is a big pile of ashes. Nobody wins except the devil, because that's what he wanted in the first place. Look at James chapter 3. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And though the tongue has no bones, it is strong enough to break a heart. And in James chapter 1, it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. That means it's worthless. So you can believe in God all day long, but if you're running your mouth at people and acting ugly, your faith is worthless. So why do we have such a hard time in response to negativity? Why is it so hard sometimes to do right in the face of wrong? I believe the number one, all time, number one reason is just pride. It's pridefulness. The reason we can't just let stuff roll off of us is we have got to have our say. And if possible, also have the last word, right? And we want them to know they didn't fool us, right? If somebody's taking advantage of you. And the reason is because we're trying to avoid being humiliated and feeling stupid. I think I would rather feel stupid and be humiliated than displease God, though, especially with pridefulness, because I know pridefulness will get you sent to the wilderness. It did me. And that is a place I don't wish to go. Reason number two, I believe, is because we have unhealed wounds, pain and anger from long ago, that just prohibits us from remaining silent in the face of any kind of anger or abuse or anything like that. If you have wounds that are unhealed, those spirits that attach themselves to those places of infection will jump up when something happens to you or somebody attacks you like that, and they will jump out there and start a big fight. Reason number three, sometimes negativity in relationship comes along with rejection, and we're feeling the sting of rejection, or we're just hurt by that person's actions. And we want to strike back when we're hurt because we're human. But you know, the Bible says that if somebody does something wrong against us, we're to go to them and tell them what they've done wrong, right? That's a real hard thing to do. You really have to prepare yourself and pray up for that one most of the time. It also says not to let the sun go down on your anger. Why is that? Because if the sun goes down on your anger, that anger festers and boils and continues to grow. And eventually it will become bitterness and then unforgiveness, and none of us needs to have any of that. That same verse, Ephesians 4:26, says, "Be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." It's okay to be upset. It's okay to be angry, but hold your tongue. Don't sin with your mouth because you're angry. Take a deep breath. Give a soft answer. A soft answer turneth away wrath. And verse 27 says, "Neither give place to the devil." When we go off on somebody, that's exactly what we're doing. We're giving him a place. We're opening a door and saying, "Come on in, Satan. I'm going to do this your way." In verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking but be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind to one another," verse 32, "tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." We must always, always, always be mindful of how much we've been forgiven, y'all. And we must do our utmost to show the same grace to others. And it is not always easy, is it? Relationships are imperfect because we as humans are imperfect. Only Jesus was ever perfect. And we are constantly harassed by the accuser of the brethren, who, the Bible says, accuses our brethren night and day before God, night and day. And he also accuses us, and he accuses others to us, night and day, night and day. He tries to drive us crazy with it, I think. And then you have the demons trying to put their two cents in. And then you have your flesh that just wants to do what it wants to do. So each time we encounter negativity in a relationship, we're dealing with all this stuff. All of it. And unless we really stay in the Word of God and stay in prayer, it's going to be really, really, really hard for us to respond any way except like the world does. In any way except the way the devil wants you to. But Joseph, in the face of all that negativity, all his brothers, except Benjamin, that were so mean to him, he kept doing the right thing. He kept walking in wisdom, keeping his mind on God, and doing what God wanted him to do. That's why we read about him in the Bible. Moses also encountered negativity. People who questioned his authority and attacked his authority and gossiped about him behind his back. Moses interceded for them. He responded by interceding for the people who attacked him because he knew that God was going to get him, right? Then there was King David, who dealt with Saul, who hated him because he was so jealous of the anointing on David. Literally spent 10 years chasing David through the wilderness to try to kill him. David, however, continued to honor Saul, even though he was very unjust, but he was in authority, and David honored the office that he held and held back his hand from doing him harm. Jephthah, that we talked about recently, his brothers exiled him the minute his father died. But then, you know, he got his position back later. And then there was Esther, who had to deal with the evil Haman. And she dealt with it with prayer and fasting. What I want you to see here is in every single case, in these righteous people's lives, when they dealt with these negative situations in these relationships, they did the right thing, and then God exalted them and righted the wrong in every one of these cases. In every case, they continued to do the right thing, and God promoted them. And I noticed something this week that I want to share with you. If you've ever watched any of my videos, you probably know that I love necklaces that have crosses on them. I especially love what's called Western bling necklaces, a bib necklace. They have multiple strands that have things hanging from them, and I just think they're pretty, and I like the way they fill up the necklines. Have you ever held a simple cross and just looked at that cross and contemplated it? It's so beautiful in that it represents God's love for us. But why did he choose the cross? Why not a triangle or a circle? Look at it. One arm of the cross points straight to heaven, where our eternal home and our Savior dwell. The others point both ways to all those around us on earth, reminding us to spread his love and spread the gospel to everyone else so they can go there too. The simple yet pure and profound message of the cross: love for him, love for each other, eternity. I just love that. Sometimes when relationships are on rocky ground, I have needed the reminder of the beautiful message of the cross: gentleness, humility, forgiveness. I have needed that reminder of God's love for me when I walked through some valley of pain. Have you ever taken a Coke and shaken it up really hard before opening it? Didn't we all do that as kids? I know I did. What does it do when you open it? It explodes out of that small opening, doesn't it? Sometimes we're like those Cokes, especially if you have ever suffered long-term abuse or real serious trauma. We need to wear a warning that says, caution, contents under pressure, to warn people that if they shake us up, we'll explode. I don't do that much anymore, but in the past I did it. And I never understood why, because it would happen so suddenly. I didn't understand that it came from years of being shaken and beaten and unable to express anything, in my case anyway. Nonetheless, having an explosive temperament isn't good for fostering loving relationships or witnessing to others about Christ, is it? So after I got saved, I began working on that, not wanting to bring shame to the name of the Lord. And I pay attention to how I feel now, and I express honestly how I feel to others, and I don't allow that pressure to build up in the first place. If I feel the stress building and the pressure mounting from other things, things or people or situations that are outside my control, I usually use, you know, exercise or housework or something like that and try to deal with the stress that way. Those things work like a pressure valve for me. And I contemplate how best to help the situation or the people at hand. The crosses I wear are gentle reminders every day of how gentle and patient the Lord has been with me and how he wants me to show that same love and gentleness to everyone else. That doesn't make it easy, but if we submit our temperaments to him, if we work on being Christ-like in our actions, I believe we can. We have to remember that God has a redemptive plan for every person we meet, no matter how ugly they might act right now, no matter what kind of thing that they've done to us, he has a plan for them. And if we give a right response in negative situations, it can help point them to Jesus. Instead of begging the Lord to bring justice down on our enemy, we can ask him for an opportunity and the courage to express his love to that person, and we can see lives changed. That's the kind of prayer God wants to answer. A prayer is a seed. Never pray anything for anyone else that you don't want in your own life. If you pray for judgment to fall on them, guess what? You just prayed a seed of judgment into your own life. The Lord does not want us to fight fire with fire. He does not want us to answer unkindly when someone is unkind to us. He wants us to show his love and his gentleness as much of the time as is possible. And he's willing to enable us to do that, to empower us to walk in love. We have to ask for it and be willing to do it. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. That's 1 Peter chapter 3. I hope this show has been a blessing to you. It's a little bit short this week. I hope that you will remember the simple and profound message of the cross this week, and especially any time you encounter negativity in people, and try to give the right response and make the Lord proud of you. I know it's not easy, y'all. I know it's not. I've spent years practicing that. I don't always succeed. Sometimes something catches me off guard or whatever, and I say something a little bit more harsh than I should. But I thank God, at least I don't usually just completely blow my lid. So there is hope. You can work towards that. It does take applying discipline and praying for, you know, help. But that's what he expects of us, and that's what he commands us to do and what he wants us to act like. So try to pass the test of negativity in relationships. This is one of the tests on the pathway to promotion. There's going to be about 8 tests in all. This is test number 2. I want y'all to get promoted and send us the praise reports. And I want to get promoted too. We all want to be promoted, don't we? And when we get to heaven, we want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That will make it all worth it. All of it. Whatever we've suffered, that will make it all worth it. Thanks for listening. God bless you. You have a great week. I hope you enjoyed this retro episode of Just Praise Him Radio, which used to be Wings Radio. Join me again next week for more Just Praise Him Radio. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Do you know someone suffering from domestic violence or another form of abuse like verbal abuse? Did you know abuse has deep spiritual roots that cause abuse to be attracted to a person throughout their lifetime? Now, the Escaping Abuse Study Guide helps you discover and remove those spiritual roots so you won't be an abuse magnet. Get the Escaping Abuse Study Guide or get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. Escaping Abuse Study Guide by Glenda Lomax. Available now on Amazon.com. If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print, and new audiobook, The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?
Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined.
After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.